my parents raised me to believe that I could do anything that I wanted to do in life. One day I went from watching the races on television to going to the track and signing myself up to get my racing license, my first time that I ever went to the track. And I had no idea. I found out later that nobody does that. Everybody goes to the track for like 2 years and practices, but sometimes ignorance is bliss. And I dove in head first.
That's Shalina Morda, the first woman to ever race a motorcycle at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, known as the greatest race course in the world. While struggling initially to find her place in the sport, Shalina is now breaking barriers both on and off the track. In addition to racing, Shalina runs an all-female motorcycle camp to help women of all ages learn and build their confidence with riding. She's passionate about motorcycling and would love to see more women in the sport, so this is how Shalina is innovating to change the motorcycling industry. I'm Michelle King, and you're listening to She Innovates. It's a show where we share the stories of women and men who are innovating to change the world for the better. I'm so excited to be featuring pro racer Shalina Morda on the podcast today. Shalina's going to be sharing with us some of the challenges she's faced as a woman in a male-dominated sport. She's also going to be talking about how each of us can conquer our fears and why it is that women already have what it takes to succeed. I'm so thrilled to have you on the show today, Shalina. So welcome to She Innovates. So look, I thought we'd get started, you know, by getting you to share how it is that you got into motorcycling. So, you know, where did all of this start?
Okay, yeah. I mean, the way that I got into the sport is not your typical way that anybody gets into any sport. For me, it started out, I was watching the guys on TV, and I grew up just idolizing these motorcycle racers and always wanted to be doing what they were doing. I actually grew up on a ranch, on a dairy in California. And so I've been riding motorcycles since I was a little kid to bring the cows in from the fields, you know? And so that's what actually started my love for motorcycles. And my dad, you know, he'd make us go and do chores on the ranch, and all of them were involving motorcycles. And he had no idea what he was starting when he put me on those ranch quads. And for me, it just really sparked a passion for motorcycles. And like I said, I started watching these guys on TV, and I had their posters on my wall, and it was a dream for me. It was like this unattainable thing that I wanted to do. And my parents raised me to believe that I could do anything that I wanted to do in life. My parents are extremely supportive, and they've built a lot of confidence into me. And so one day I went from watching the races on television to going to the track and signing myself up to get my racing license, my first time that I ever went to the track. And I had no idea. I found out later that nobody does that. Everybody goes to the track for like 2 years and practices, but sometimes ignorance is bliss. And I dove in head first and what I really wanted to do, my biggest dream in life. And so I went for it with that kind of an attitude. And I think that when you put your whole heart into something, you're bound to do it with a lot of passion and to force yourself to succeed at it, you know?
I think it's so fantastic, you know, that you're so passionate about what you do. You know, I just wondered, growing up, you know, and as your passion developed, did you have any sort of role models that you looked up to? Or, you know, were most of those role models mainly men, or were there any women? Like, who sort of inspired you on your journey?
Oh, yeah, for sure. They were all guys. Like, all the racers were guys. But that never stopped me from wanting to do it. My dad didn't not let me do things because I was a girl, you know? I have a brother, and my brother does all the same stuff that I do. Since we were little kids, we were always raised, like, running around with my dad and my mom. And my mom's the same way. Like, they literally raised me, teaching me that you can do anything in this world that you want. And they're eating those words, I'll tell you what, because they do not like that I'm a motorcycle racer for a living.
Why? Because it's dangerous?
It's, when I first started racing, my parents just, they were floored. They did not like it. And my parents are crazy supportive of everything that I do. But motorcycle racing, my mom's like, Shalene, I had you in ballet when you were a kid. Could you do ballet? Could you do basket weaving? Anything. And it was because the unobtainables are, you can't be a professional athlete. You can't be a professional actress. You can't be a model. Those are things that are such a small percentage of people get to do. You shouldn't aspire to do those things. And like, I just kind of threw that out the window. But for my parents, they're more traditional. My mom, her family's contractors. My grandpa builds big, beautiful homes. And my dad's the other side of the spectrum. They're farmers, you know, and my dad's a great businessman and works in numbers, you know, to grow his ranches. But those are very practical jobs and careers. And so for me, their daughter, to want to be one of the unobtainables kind of caught them off guard, you know? And I always remind them that it's because of how they raised me. They raised me to be really confident that I could do whatever I put my mind to.
And that's what you were trying to do, right?
Yeah, yeah. And they wouldn't support me like financially or anything. A lot of people that get into sports, I think in general, have a lot of parental support and their parents pay for their training and everything else. And I had to foot the bill for myself. Like, they were of the mindset that if you want to do this, like if you are really going to do this crazy dream of yours, then you're going to pay your own way and you're going to figure it out. And to me, I think that that makes the glory of it all the better because I worked my tail off for what I do and for every piece of what I've accomplished, you know? And so I think that I'm glad that they didn't hand it to me. It would have been spectacular to have a little bit of a leg up in the whole thing, but I think that having to work hard for it has really helped me to concrete it. It's put it in stone for me, you know?
I think it's really interesting, you know, what you're touching on there, because for me, this is at the heart of gender equality. I mean, we raise our daughters to think that they're strong and independent and they can do anything, but then we sort of have to be prepared that they just might, right?
Yeah.
And our job then becomes kind of supporting them with that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so look, I just wanted to touch on, you know, some of the challenges you faced in your career because, you know, as a woman in a male-dominated sport, there's obviously a range of obstacles you've had to overcome. So I just wondered if you could share what some of those are and, you know, how you've done that.
Yeah, totally. Challenges that I faced as a female growing up in this sport, making my way in this sport, are probably felt by a lot of females in a lot of different industries across the board. And I've actually talked to several females in the Hollywood industry and the entertainment industry. You know, we all share kind of the same struggles. And I think that as a female in this male-dominated industry that I'm in, one of the big things that I came across that really held me back was just being taken seriously. And to me, that's a huge issue because I came in and I was like, I'm going to be a professional racer. Like, I stepped into this sport going, this is what I'm going to do professionally. And people kind of look at you and go like, yeah, okay. Like, they don't take you seriously. They don't think that you're going to stick it through. And I think that there's a lot of different factors that play into that. And I think, unfortunately, a huge part of it that I've seen is you would automatically assume that that's coming from the guys, right? But I think that a huge part of that is actually females holding each other back. And that's the saddest part of it. I think that females don't take their own selves seriously a lot of the time. And I think that that hurts the other females who are really, you know, putting their head down and making their way at something. And whether that's motorcycle racing or whether that's, you know, trying to be a producer and make your way in Hollywood or so many different industries probably face these same things. And I think that especially in my industry, you know, there's a lot of females that will pretend, you know, that they are legitimate and just for the flash in the pan thing, like they'll use it for the hype and to get the attention and whatever else. And I think that that especially detracts from somebody who's actually out there doing it. And so I think that that's been my biggest struggle. It's not even the guys holding me back, you know, and some of it is, but a lot of it is literally just everything surrounding being taken seriously as a female in a male-dominated world.
Yeah, I mean, so how do you get taken seriously? Because I know that this is an issue that, you know, a lot of women face in their career, kind of regardless of their industry. So, you know, have you got any sort of examples or strategies that you use to kind of tackle this issue?
I think that one of the big things to prove yourself that you should be taken seriously is just to do it 100% for yourself. Do it for your own true beliefs. Don't do it for the eyeballs. Don't do it for everybody else. You've got to really follow your own path. And I think that if everybody did it like that, then the world would be a better place, right? Everybody would be a lot more happy in their jobs. But I think that my whole thing in growing in my career has been, I do the things that I wholeheartedly believe in. I do things the way that I think things should be done. I don't do it because it's going to propel me or because it's going to get me a bunch of hype or put me in the spotlight. I do things because I love them and because that's where I want to be and because I want to push myself and excel. And I think that that's the way that you get taken seriously. Show that you're in it for the long run. Show that you're willing to put the work in.
And so just on that, right, I mean, who kind of inspires you to keep going? You know, where do you kind of draw your inspiration from?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a lot of male role models out there. I think that I draw my inspiration to keep on going, honestly, from super powerful women in the past, like Amelia Earhart, and women who have really, really made a big splash in, you know, our history books and what us girls are raised to look up to. Danica Patrick is one of the biggest in the motorsports industry, and, you know, she's done a great job of getting her name out there, and so I do definitely see her as a powerhouse, and women like Serena Williams, for instance, I adore her. There's definitely females out there. They don't have to be in my particular sport for me to draw inspiration from, and I think maybe I'm a little bit strange in that way because I do draw inspiration from guys like Aaron Yates and the Bostrom brothers and Valentino Rossi and guys who are out there like really pushing the limits. For me, I get inspiration from that. I do think that it's simultaneously important for females, for especially girls, to have role models to look up to because we do model after people. You know what I mean? Like, we see that it can be done, and then we allow ourselves to aspire to that.
I completely agree. I mean, I think having role models is really critical to encouraging more women into sort of male-dominated fields because, you know, if you can see it, you can be it, and there's that whole sense of being able to see yourself in that industry. So I guess my question then is, you know, how do we get more women into the industry? So what is it that we can do to kind of break down some of the barriers?
So I think that a big part of why there's not more females in this sport is because I think that parents view it as a dangerous sport. And so when a girl is growing up, they're not going to purposefully put their daughter in a sport that they view as dangerous. But the fact is that if you build your skill set and you wear protective gear, like, you know, I'm covered head to toe, helmet, leathers, everything. And so if you go into it taking the precautions, then it is significantly less dangerous than, say, riding around like a hooligan with a helmet off, right? And so I think that if parents understood that, then they might be more encouraging of their kids, boys and girls, getting into a sport like motorcycling. I think that another big part of it is that when you have anything that is so male-dominated, it makes it really intimidating for females to actually get into it. And I know that I've had to struggle a lot getting into the sport because you're learning from all guys, you know, and as a female, I think it's a natural thing. Like, I don't think that this is just me. I think that this is a natural thing that we get kind of embarrassed to learn from guys who are really good at what they do. Like, we feel more stupid if we do something wrong in front of a guy, you know? And so that's, to me, a big part of it, too. I'm a little crazy, and so I just kind of throw myself into it and learn from them anyway. But I think that that's not a typical mentality.
You know, I think what you touched on there is so important because this is a key barrier for women kind of entering male-dominated fields, right, is feeling like they can learn in an environment that's safe for them to fail, safe for them to kind of take some risks. And I think creating those environments is really important. So, you know, for me, I think that's what your camp achieves. I mean, is this kind of what you were hoping to do when you started the camp?
Yeah. For me, I saw a lot of females struggling, and I think that a lot of females drop out of a sport like this because they can't get the support and can't learn like the guys do. And so they'll lose their confidence in it and they'll drop out before they've even really figured it out. And so because I know that I have had to really push to be able to learn and get to the level that I'm at, I wanted to be able to have a place where females could come and be comfortable to ask the million questions and just submerge themselves in a sport that maybe they don't feel completely welcomed in. And I wanted to be able to have that place that they felt comfortable, that I could build their confidence, that I could show them a bit of my world. You know, I don't care if they go on to be a motorcycle racer or not. I want them to be able to have a taste of the industry and a taste of what I love about it. And maybe they can apply it to different parts of their life where it builds their confidence or whatever. But I just wanted a place where other females could have a little bit of a leg up and not feel excluded and get into the sport if that's what they wanted to do.
You know, I think that's a great goal. And I'm really interested to hear kind of how the camps work. So could you share a bit more about sort of what they involve?
The camps are, well, they're motorcycle camps, but they're not just for people that know how to ride motorcycles or want to ride motorcycles or anything. Like, it's been pretty cool. I've had companies like Pinterest out, and I had the I Am Kate show came out to our camps, and they just wanted to do it as like a team building thing and a confidence building thing. I think that it's really cool that my camps are able to do that. At our camp, it's a 3-day event. They show up on Friday. We do an orientation and icebreakers and show them the track and explain to them what they're doing. And then on Saturday and Sunday, it is, we gear them up and they get on the motorcycles and we teach them all the basics, everything that you need to know from starting in the motorcycle to getting on the throttle to using your brakes, because if you can't stop, then you're going to be afraid to go. And so we teach them every little detail of it. And we've had people who have never even ridden a bicycle before that have come to my camps. And by the end of Sunday, they are ripping around with all the other girls, and we'll get them to do a hill climb or some big challenge so that they can feel like they've accomplished it, you know, because like that's the thing about motorcycles is that you're in complete control. It's just you and the motorcycle, and you can do anything that you want to do on that bike. And so to me, like that's the coolest thing about my camps is that I get to pass that on to people, you know? And so by the end of the weekend, they are conquering all of their goals that they had at the beginning. And believe you me, I have had girls in the beginning of camp who are in tears because they think that they cannot do it. They think that I can't figure it out. I'm not cut out for this. And I'm like, you push through it. Like, you've got to figure it out. And I pick out the things that are going to make them better and that I know that will help them to improve. And then by Sunday, oftentimes those same girls are in tears because they're having to leave the camp and they've broken through so many barriers. And to me, that's what makes it that's my favorite part about the whole thing.
You know, I think it's so fantastic what you're doing, because even if just one woman walks away from a camp and thinks, you know, maybe I could do that, you're sort of changing a whole industry, right? Because potentially that woman could go on to be a role model for other women. And so that's kind of how you over time bring more women into the industry.
I love that you said that, because I didn't set out with this goal when I started racing. When I started racing, I was racing for me and because I wanted to, and it was my biggest dream, right? But from being in this industry, it has become very apparent to me that there needs to be somebody that can kind of shake things up and change some things. And like, that's why I gravitate towards Amelia Earhart as somebody that I aspire to be like, because she changed a lot and proved that females can. And I think that the motorcycle industry right now needs a little shakeup and needs a change. And so I feel in a lot of ways like I'm the one pushing through for change with not a ton of support, but I feel like I can make a difference. And I love to hear you say that maybe I am making a difference. Like, I've gotten emails from people that say that I changed their life through either my camps or from inspiring them through my racing. And those are the things that have made me keep on pushing, even through the most difficult times. Hearing things like that, like, that's what means the world to me, is that, like, maybe I can actually make a difference.
I think you're completely making an impact.
Thank you.
And, You know, I'm really interested to hear more about that in terms of your career achievements and some of the highlights. You know, some of our listeners might not even know this, but you're actually a cover girl, which is a great achievement in of itself and almost a juxtaposition within the motorcycling industry. So, you know, could you share more on this and, you know, some of your achievements to date?
It's so funny that you call it a juxtaposition because that's exactly what I always call it. I call myself the walking contradiction. But as far as my biggest achievements, I mean, I have to credit my first huge achievement in this industry as just getting my professional license. To me, that was huge. That was, at that time, that was my biggest goal, you know? That was it for me. And then I got it and I was like, oh, I'm a professional racer. Oh my God. So what can I do next? So I've gone to race all over the world. I was the first female to ever race a motorcycle at Indianapolis Raceway, which everybody knows Indy. And so to be in the history books there was huge for me. And then just being able to keep on setting the bar higher and higher. I was the one female that they chose from the United States to come and race in Qatar in the women's series there. And that was huge to me because Qatar is, I mean, it's right next to Saudi Arabia. And so the way that females are viewed and treated over there is totally different than we're used to in the United States. I can dream as big as I want, you know? And so to be able to take that mentality over there, I feel like I'm getting to pave the way for females of the world, not just here in the States, you know? And so that's a huge accomplishment. And then as of lately, one of the biggest things for me was signing with CoverGirl. To be an official CoverGirl is huge. And to me, it really symbolizes that you can be anything and everything that you want to be. I can be a motorcycle racer in a male-dominated sport and still look and act and be female. And that's okay. I get criticized a lot for that, being in my sport. Like, they expect you to look like a boy. And I don't want to look like a boy. I want to be able to play in both worlds. I'm happy that my mom raised me to be able to be female and my dad raised me to be able to dice with the boys, you know? So to me, it's a huge contradiction to be a motorcycle racer and a cover girl at the same time, but it's flattering and huge to me that I'm able to rock that.
So look, Shalina, we have to wrap up, but my last question for you is really, you know, what advice do you have for women who are listening who want to build their confidence or do something that's really challenging and push themselves? What advice do you have for women in relation to that?
If I were to give some advice to the females that are listening to your podcast, is just, if you want to do something, get out and do it. Plan it and do whatever you need to make yourself comfortable, but don't overthink it. Get out and do it, and you'll be amazed at the things that you can actually accomplish. Don't use being a female as an excuse. I think that we use being a female as an excuse too often. Like, if I can go and race a motorcycle at 200 miles an hour against the boys, you can do any of your dreams that you're looking forward to doing as well. Don't limit yourself. You actually can do it if you just let yourself do it.
I really enjoyed chatting with Shalina. You know, it's so great to hear how women are following their dreams, even if they have to do this on their own. The thing that I loved most about this interview was hearing how Shalina is paying it forward and supporting more women with getting them into the industry. I think if all women and men did this for marginalized groups, workplaces would be a lot more equal. Today on Fairy Godboss Insights, we are going to be talking about gender stereotypes, which are the expectations we hold for how women and men should behave, and also intentional invisibility at work. A 2-year study from sociologists at Stanford University found that while visibility and proactiveness are critical to advance at work, the reality is very different for women. Many of the female participants said they felt caught in a double bind. They didn't want to violate gender stereotypes by being authoritative because generally women are expected to be more collaborative and communal. However, women also realized that by keeping quiet, they were actually hurting their odds of getting a high-profile assignment, promotion, or other career opportunities. As a solution, many of the women adopted a risk-averse strategy called intentional invisibility, whereby they prioritized authenticity and keeping a low profile at work. Companies need to start recognizing the toll that visibility takes on women and create cultures that allow women to be themselves at work and take on more visible roles. I really hope you all enjoyed our episode today. And just a quick side note, if you haven't already, please subscribe to my weekly newsletter. It's called The Fix, and you can do this by going onto my website and signing up at michellepking.com/thefix. I have tons of resources and materials that I include every week in my newsletter, so please subscribe today. Thanks again, everyone, and I'll catch you all again next week.
She Innovates is produced by Human Group Media, a company that inspires people to do good through the power of audio storytelling. This podcast is made possible by SAP NextGen, an innovation platform that enables everyone, from individuals, companies, partners, and universities, to connect and innovate with purpose. In doing so, SAP NextGen supports the achievement of the Sustainable Development Goals.